Blog Talk Radio.
The Dolly McCarthy Show. Good news, good guests, and at least one good laugh. The Dolly McCarthy Show.
The Dolly McCarthy Show is proudly sponsored by Sullivan Steakhouse. Sullivan Steak, offering you a delectable food, fun cocktails, and swinging live music, enticing guests to untie, unwind, and uncork. SullivanSteak.com. Actually, everybody, I'm just going to read off the sponsors here. Most of these businesses are closed, but they are open for takeout, delivery, and I would encourage you to support these sponsors that have been very loyal to the show that has been bringing you good news, good guests, and at least one good laugh every week. Bricconi's, thanks to the family, the local family-owned operation over there, Bricconi's Pizza in Naperville. Sullivan Steakhouse, they have one in Chicago and in Naperville. Arthur Murray Dance, there's one in Naperville and in Oak Brook. Naper Settlement, been with the show for 7 years now. Midwest Coach Limousine, family-run as well. North Fork Farm, another family in Oswego, Illinois. And then we've got Clark's Car Care. That's another family-owned operation. All of these businesses have supported the show for many years. I don't sell the show anymore. This show is truly my passion. I am your host, Dolly McCarthy, if you don't recognize my voice. Today is my last show. Don't get scared. Don't get upset or don't throw a party, because I am coming back. I've never taken a summer hiatus. I guess that's what Oprah called it. I never took a break from the show. I've done over 400 shows, probably more that I can count, consistently every week. I've taken a week here or there off, but consistently been doing this show for 7 years because it is something that I love to do. It is my passion. And I also feel a duty to, of service to you, to bring you information about good things happening in the world around us. I want to see you smile and laugh. And I want to also remind you that we have to take care of each other. And that's why every week we have on the show a different non-for-profit. So this week, I'm bringing you the last show of season 7. And I'm really sad about it, but actually I'm happy because I feel a great sense of pride, and I feel that we have we serve a purpose, and everybody wants to feel that they make a difference and has purpose. And it's not just me that feels that way. I hope I've done that for you too, because this show has moved people into action. It also called and recognize people in action. I'm not taking most of this credit, that's for sure. But I really appreciate you, my listeners, longtime listeners, even newer listeners. Hang in there. I'll be back next fall. I'm taking a brief break, as Oprah called it, a summer break, a summer hiatus. A lot of shows do that. And I never felt the need to do that. My summer times are always busy with festivals and events going on, and I would bring you interviews from festivals all around the Chicagoland area, from Wisconsin, Lake Country Thunder, to Lake Shake down in the city of Chicago, to all the way out to Kankakee Barbecue Fest. We enjoyed talking to a lot of artists that are just as passionate about making a difference and supporting charities as you are. And it's been really a fun ride, I must say. But because of COVID-19, we're still in this shelter in place here in Illinois. All of the festivals this summer, it started out with Ravinia Festival, one of my favorite venues, canceling the season. And then, you know, we keep hearing about more and more being canceled. Little League Baseball is canceled. Very sad. I don't want to cancel. I'm not a quitter, but at this time, I feel a need to take a break because I can't bring you what I normally bring you in the summer months. I can't offer much to my interns as well during the summer months, and that you know, that has contributed to my decision too. But also just, you know, I realized that I do need a break, and I want to reevaluate what we're doing and making sure that we're reaching and we're making a difference, and come back with a fresh bunch of shows, a new season, and potentially a new look this fall. We're not going to get rid of our famous circle logo, that's for sure. So your mugs are still good. Keep sending me those mugshots, would you please, too? Mugshot Monday. We're really looking forward to a new look and a new season come fall. And I'm looking forward to the break. Spend more time on my family and just a clearer vision for the years ahead. So a lot of people do this. It's okay. I've thought about doing it in the past, never have, because a lot of non-for-profits need and continue to need to get the word out about them. And that's always been my motivation for this show. My truest motivation is to make a difference for them. But at this time, to be a better show, be a better person, I'm taking a break. So some of you may be sad about that. A lot of you may be happy. I'm kind of both, you know. I'm truly going to be missing it. What's going to happen is it's going to energize me for a new season and a new string of years ahead. So I'm excited about that. All right, I'll stop talking about that. Hey, I want to welcome you all to The Good Show, where every week we have always brought you good news, good guests, and at least one good laugh. I know I've definitely brought that to you, usually at my expense, right? So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for supporting the show and for mostly continuing to support the non-for-profits that we have featured on this show. Okay, really quick, before we get to my first guest, I'm excited to have on the president and CEO of Clearbrook. It's a non-for-profit based in Arlington Heights. Tony DiVittorio is going to be on the show, and I can say his name. It just rolls right off my tongue because I'm an Italian, too. I love that name. And so stand by. We're going to have Tony on in just a few moments. But first, I want to do a quick reminder. The Dellie McCarthy Show is a proud sponsor of the Park Ridge Newcomers Club Labor of Love fundraiser. It was supposed to be May 9th, 2 days from now. We were all going to be wearing our gowns and enjoying some merriment over at the Hyatt Regency O'Hare on May 9th. That was going to be this Saturday, actually. But that had to be canceled due to COVID-19. But we're having a virtual event. They're having a virtual event, and I hope that you guys will still participate. Thanks to everybody who's been so generous up to this point. I want to thank everybody who showed up to Winter Music Fest that we held at Harp and Fiddle on the Northwest Side as well, and all those little events that we've had along the way. But here's the big event on Saturday. If you could please go to the website. It's a virtual event. It's gone virtual. And you can bid on silent auction items and live auction items there. Go to parkridgenewcomersclub.org/laborofloveAnd that's where you can get more information. This is an event, a virtual event, again, that's making a difference, making magic happen, they say, to keep two sisters together in Park Ridge, whose mother had passed away unexpectedly last year. So a lot of fairy godmothers out there who want to take care of these two young girls. And so thank you all for checking that out. That's May 9th, this Saturday. What a great way to spend part of your Mother's Day weekend too. And happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. I'm really looking forward to celebrating with my kids. I'm going to have all five of them home. My son lives in Wrigleyville. He's coming home. My four daughters, my two college girls, U of I, Shelley, the oldest, graduating from U of I, but no ceremony. We're going to have something like, we'll figure out something. There's supposed to be some virtual graduation online on the 16th of May. So we're looking forward to that and hearing her name being called. And we got the cap and gown, so she'll wear that. And it'll be just as special. But it is disappointing that we can't be at U of I with her whole graduating class. But you know what? As you know, and I know, in life, things throw, you know, you get curveballs every now and then. And it's the way you handle them. And we just adjust. We pivot. And we just celebrate what it is. It's a great accomplishment. It's not the way we would have really wanted to celebrate, but it is what it is. And here's the good news. We're all healthy and well, right? So let's stay positive and support each other. All right, let's move on to my first guest.
Hey, this is Vanilla Ice, and you're listening to The Dolly McCarthy Show. Holla.
Hey, I'm Justin Moore, and you're listening to The Dolly McCarthy Show.
Folks, this is Joe Diffie, and you're listening to my friend, The Dolly McCarthy Show.
Oh, my goodness, I didn't mean to hit that one. Joe Diffie, rest in peace, my friend. Because of COVID-19, he succumbed to that. Those are a few of the guests that have been on the show, and I didn't mean to hit those buttons, but that happened. Hey, I want to introduce you to the CEO and president of Clearbrook. Now, this is a not-for-profit based in Arlington Heights. A lot of people are familiar with Clearbrook. They were a beneficiary at First Look for Charity, I believe, this year, as well as years past, and they provide services and support to over 8,000 individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities and their families. And I'm really happy to have on the show today President and CEO of Clearbrook, Tony DiVittorio. Tony, welcome to the show for the first time.
Yes, first time, and glad to be here. And congratulations on 400 shows in 7 years. Sounds like you deserve a summer off.
Well, I don't know if I deserve it, but I'm going to take it. You know, that's what they say. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's
blue sky,
that's for sure. How long have you been involved with Clearbrook, Tony?
So I came in August of 2016 from an agency on the southwest side of Chicago, and then had about 3 months of transition with the previous president, who had been here almost 29 years. So it's about 4 years. It'll be coming up on 4 years in August. And they've been some really good years, and this year is a very challenging year.
Oh, indeed, I bet. How are you navigating COVID-19? How are your clients, well, the families?
Well, you can understand. So the people that we serve, so these families, you know, when you have a child who's got some challenges, intellectual, developmental disabilities, you always feel a little bit vulnerable. And then as you kind of let go and allow those people to, you know, your sons and daughters to kind of go their own way a little bit, maybe in a group home or another setting, you still feel like they're vulnerable, and so they trust us. But today, when everybody's a little bit anxious about what's going on with COVID, it just heightens that anxiety. And then we were one of the first agencies to really kind of shelter in place and not allow visitation and close our day programs. And so at a time when parents are very anxious for what's going on in the world, and especially with their sons and daughters, they can't see their sons and daughters. So it creates a lot of anxiety, and it's all very
exactly,
understandable,
yeah.
But for the best mm-hmm. reasons. But it's hard. Right now, you know, just like all the other human service providers, and especially people who provide residential services, it's a challenge. And for about 5 weeks there, we really avoided any kind of confirmed cases. We had some health issues and monitored people, but in the last week, in our largest setting, especially where the most vulnerable live, just experienced a number of cases and actually one death, which isn't unusual. Still, it's horrible, but it's kind of where all our peers, you know, where they're at and what they're experiencing, and so it's you know, our routine job is to work with these guys and help them with skills and help them, you know, get through life and have good, full, meaningful days. But then all of a sudden now, you know, it's really trying to just keep people as safe and healthy as possible. And, you know, we're not nursing homes. We're not a hospital. But we have, you know, some vulnerable people that we're working with. And so we're challenged just by the same things that you read in the paper, getting all the protective gear, which we've done pretty well with, you know, taking vitals on a regular basis, working with the hospitals when we have the extra need, but then communicating with the families throughout this to make them a little more aware and as comfortable as we can.
Mm-hmm. Now, Tony, I know Clearbrook does care for individuals in their actual homes, right, with their families, but also do you have a home, too, where you house residents?
Oh yeah, we
and
have.
Tell us more about that. Tell us about
sure,
your facility.
Sure, we serve. Oh, yeah, we serve about 8,000 families. So we serve about 1,200 families where their sons and daughters, brothers, sisters are in their homes. But at Clearbrook, we have 53 group homes spread out throughout from the lakefront to Wisconsin, out towards McHenry and south. And group homes can range anywhere from, you know, one person up to eight. Most of ours are probably like four, five, and six people. Then we have, and those are homes in the community, your neighbors. I mean, just another house in the neighborhood. Great places. Then we also have these 16-bed homes that are a little more facilities. They're managed under the supervision of public health. Those are for people who need a little bit more support than what we can do out in the community for the most part, a little heavier ratio. And then we have an 85-bed facility. And what that has become is kind of the place for people who have a lot of medical issues and higher needs even. So there we have nursing around the clock. It's not licensed as a nursing home, per se, a skilled facility, but there's more support for those people that need it. And so in that home, kind of, you know, our biggest fear, because that home is full of predominantly elderly people, predominantly people in wheelchairs, and then, again, predominantly people who have other health issues. And so that large of a setting with age and other health issues, it's just in this day and age with this challenge of COVID, just a target. And you prepare as best you can and then deal with it as best you can and try to do the right thing right along. But inevitably, our experience and our peers' experiences that you get pretty hard in those kind of settings.
Right, right. How many locations do you have? You've mentioned a lot of different facilities there, but the actual numbers, how many different Clearbrook locations?
Well, we have a number of day programs ranging from where 20 people go during the day to a couple programs that are larger. So there's probably 7 or 8 day programs, some of them in partnership with like NWSRA, some of them just gathering spots for people who have jobs before they head out or get extra training as they're learning their skills to be employable. A number of day programs that are just, you know, basic skills. And some we have one kind of a workshop, kind of an old school setting that is kind of being phased out where people do some piecework and get a paycheck. Those are all the day facilities. But then residentially, again, 53 group homes throughout North East Illinois, and then predominantly in the Arlington Heights areas where we have the 16-bed homes, two of them. We have one up in Lake County, and the 85-bed facility is also in Arlington Heights.
Yeah. Well, we're talking to CEO and president of Clearbrook, Tony DiVittorio. And, you know, Tony, I see the you have a lot of individuals in your care that are probably, you know, as I mentioned, they're individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities, so they're probably struggling more than most of us with this new normal. How are they adjusting? How how have you adjusted your care to comforting them and reassuring them that they're going to be okay?
That's the biggest part right now. So your listeners, I'm sure, are a little bit confused and a little bit tired of staying sheltered in place and getting a little bit cabin feverish and irritable with the people they love. So these guys too, as they're having to kind of shelter in place, their routines are all haywire. They're not going out, they're not going to their jobs, they're not going to the day programs, they're not going to all their activities. They're sheltered in place and they get on each other's nerves. But also now, you know, they're not getting that routine visit by mom and dad or going home for a weekend to mom and dad's because we're sheltered in place and are restricting those things to try to limit the infectious virus that is out there, and that's by direction, you know, of the state. So what we did right away, immediately, was to reach out to families. We went and purchased the iPads for each house so that we set up communication schedules with families so there'd be some FaceTime going on. For some of the individuals, that works real well. For others, it's just a chance for mom and dad to see the person. And then there's regular communication between staff and families, again, to make people as comfortable as possible. Some of that's, you know, over the phone. Some of it's written or email. But it's important to keep those connections. We've also added supports for the staff in the homes where they have more supplies, more activities, you know, more things to do. They're using those iPads also to link up between the homes so they can have kind of like what I do on the weekend, you know, with my brothers and sisters. You know, you get on Zoom and you have a cocktail with each other and you can see each other and joke around. We're trying to keep their world as big as we can, even though, you know, they're in a home just like us, you know, so we're doing anything we can to make their lives as full and meaningful in such a restricted atmosphere, and that's hard. But it allows us, again, to keep a very close eye on their health and limit their exposure to the virus. And so it's necessary. But you say all those things, but also understanding that some people have a better ability to understand what's going on than others. And so if you're not really understanding all this, and it's frustrating and creates even more anxiety. And so staff have to work hard at making sure people, you know, just have the ability to kind of unwind a little bit and do things they enjoy so that, that somehow their day is a good day.
Yeah. You talk about your staff. You've got 900-plus employees working for Clearbrook. Clearbrook is the largest provider of home-based services in the state of Illinois. And these, like you said, these clients, these individuals under your care, it's so important to keep them obviously healthy, but the daily routine has been disrupted. And that is something that really is very key to their care. And you've done a phenomenal job caring for these individuals, keeping them safe and healthy, and creating some sort of a new routine for them. So I hats off to you, Tony, and to all of the employees over at Clearbrook for what you're doing. We know it's a challenge. We know this is challenging times. Is there something that, you know, we have a lot of people listening. What is your greatest need right now? What support do you need? We're going to put out your website for folks to look at, www.clearbrook.org. Check them out there. Do you need volunteers? Do you need, what type of support can we give you?
In normal times, we love volunteers, but right now that's just that much more exposure of people. We don't know where they've been and what they're doing.
Yeah,
so,
right.
But in reality, the cost of what we're doing is phenomenal right now. So we've spent over $250,000 for personal protective equipment. That's not in a budget. That's not reimbursed. And then the amount of overtime we're using. And then also just, you know, our staff, and they are heroic. They really have made the difference. But we're asking them to walk into homes. Some of those homes have people who have COVID. Staff have been up in the hospital after getting sick, or a lot of staff are homesick. And so as they're standing in front of the house and walking in, and they've stayed committed to work with these guys, the guys, I mean, they love these guys. What we've done is on a monthly basis during this, they're all getting a bonus. But when a house has any kind of symptoms, any kind of temperature, even if it's not a confirmed case, we give the staff double time to say thank you, we appreciate it, this is above and beyond. So we're having costs that we didn't even, nobody imagined 3 months ago.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, the state of Illinois has stepped up in ways, but the state, their starting point was, you know, one of the poorer states in the country as far as supporting our kind of services. So the reality is, yeah, if they can visit our website, there's ways they could donate. And that's appreciated. Every day people have dropped off, you know, initially toilet paper was missing in action out there. And it's a humorous thing until you have all these homes and all these people. Yeah, so
yeah,
that was appreciated.
Not very funny. Yeah.
Oh, no, mm-hmm. Not at all. Talk about a crisis. But then masks. People have been fantastic making those homemade masks.
Okay.
And that's appreciated too.
And we expect you'll need more of those. So masks, donations. We're going to hold off on the volunteers at Clearbrook. But Tony DiVittorio, it's really good to have had an opportunity to talk to you. And I close this season's show with you. And we want to show you our support. We really are with you during this. And we know what you're doing is essential to the lives of so many in our community and in and around Chicagoland, the whole state. So thank you for what you're doing. And to all those health heroes that are going into, like you said, those homes where there are people actually with COVID, you know, our hats off to them. What we've been doing, is encouraging people to support our health heroes, and that includes those people with Clearbrook. So thank you, Tony, so much for being on the show today.
Oh, I appreciate this. I appreciate your time. Thank you. Enjoy your summer.
Take care. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, my next guest is a lifelong resident in the state of Illinois and a supporter of Illinois' 20th District, Representative Brad Stevens, who was sworn into office in 2019. He replaces longtime State Rep. Roger McAuliffe, or what, not Roger, it's his son. You know I'm a true Northwestsider when I say his dad, Michael McAuliffe, in the 20th District, which includes parts of Des Plaines, Park Ridge, Rosemont, Schiller Park, Norridge, Harwood Heights, Franklin Park, and Chicago. Isn't this crazy? And parts in the neighborhoods of Edison Park, Norwood Park, and O'Hare. It's kind of a big area. Mm-hmm. And who better to represent it than actually the CEO of Rosemont, the mayor of Rosemont, Brad Stevens, who now our new Illinois state rep on the 20th District. Brad, thank you for coming on the show. Let me just tell you, this is our last show on the air for the Dolly McCarthy Show. We've been celebrating 7 years of bringing good news, good guests, and at least one good laugh. This is not a laughing matter, COVID-19, but the show is also about supporting non-for-profits, and I know that has been a passion of yours, a drive of yours, especially lately with this COVID. You're down there fighting for the district downstate, and we haven't forgotten our local health heroes, which we were just talking about with Tony DiVittorio with Clearbrook. You know, first and foremost, welcome to the show. I'm going to stop talking now.
I don't know. Are you going to be okay with that, Dolly? thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And, the Springfield work, I wish we were in Springfield getting at this thing. Some of the things that Governor Pritzker is implementing with his reopening plan are a little bit puzzling to some, and I'm sure that once the time frame dies down where folks are continuing to get paid and paychecks stop, that maybe some of those approval ratings may have a blip, maybe not, I don't know, but I know there's the village staff that at the village hall there in Rosemont. We brought them all back the other day, and they were continuing to get paid. And the elation on being able to get up and go back to work, means something to them. And people don't want to always sit around and do nothing. So I think it's important to do it slowly, reopen things slowly, but also, 50 people in a restaurant, a typical shift at Gibson's, that's probably what they have in the kitchen. So how would they open? So I think that we need to just stay on top of that and continue to push our ideas to the governor's staff and see what we can do to maybe get this thing moved along a little bit quicker, but no less safe.
Right, right. Well, you are in the district that is full of, restaurants, tourists, right by O'Hare. So I would say you're probably one of the hardest hit. We're all hit all over the place, but this is an area that really relies on this, and it's been come to a screeching halt here. So what do you have strong feelings or feelings about how
I don't have a crystal ball, no. Mm-hmm. I think the fear of the unknown is what's really concerning people, is not knowing what's going to happen. And obviously the experts have to throw in there just to cover their tracks to say that, well, this could heat up again come, the flu season. So I think people are concerned. And I think maybe a better way, because there, as you state, there's a lot of hospitality in our district. There's a lot of restaurants and bars and the Edison Park area, comes to mind, as well as Parkway Bank Park here in Rosemont. Those venues, people, I think we need to stop thinking that people aren't intelligent enough to take heed on the points that have been driven into them. Wear a mask, social distance, keep washing your hands, those types of things that I think are preventative measures. And I think that, again, if somebody is comfortable with going out to a restaurant and they get to that restaurant and they're not comfortable with the size of the crowd, they're intelligent enough to turn around and walk out and go somewhere else or go back home. I think we need to let people make their own decisions when it comes to that. Again, in a safe manner,
where we feel more comfortable with where this situation is. I mean, the way that it looks right now under the governor's plan, you know, it's the end of June before a restaurant can open. And again, it's going to have a occupancy number of 50 people. That's not a lot of people. And, you know, that's not going to pay the bills. And, you know, we have to be cognizant that the Restaurant Association is talking about potentially 30% of restaurants not reopening. Well, it's not just about protecting the ownership of that restaurant. It's protecting those people that work there. And when you talk about 30% of the restaurants, that's a lot of people that will remain unemployed. And that will be a big concern here in Illinois.
Not to mention the taxes, not being able to recoup monies from these restaurants being open and getting those taxes that support the state, that support all these programs, it's all cyclical. So everybody's going to be affected, no doubt about that. Do you feel strongly about like a Gibson's or, you know, how could a restaurant like Gibson's open up in late June with 50 people and survive?
Well, I don't think that they would. You know, nationally we hear of Cheesecake Factory that simply said, if you're going to put restrictions on the amount of people that I can have in our restaurant, then we're just going to stay closed and we'll fight the battle of you know, rent payments to our landlord rather than being forced to open and lose more money than what it would cost us to stay closed. So it's definitely a tricky situation, and everybody's got to make that decision based on how comfortable that they are within their business model to make that work. I was on a call this morning with the CEO of Dave & Buster's, and he said the same thing. In Texas, they're allowing them to reopen the restaurant portion, but not the arcade. And that's tricky. But he said that they're confident that out of their 130-some-odd units, that there's only a couple of them that are even marginal for closing. So that's a good sign. But I think that most of our restaurants here in Rosemont and hopefully throughout the district will be able to sustain this. It's just how long it goes on for. And again, without any real understanding or determination on the exact dates, it's kind of hard to figure out.
Yeah, it's really hard to wrap your head around something like this, and I imagine the weight on your shoulders as our state rep and trying to do the best you can in the area, but your hands sometimes are tied, right?
But on the other side, a huge portion of our district is healthcare workers and first responders and truck drivers and people that are those essential workers that, you know, we've got to protect them as well and do the right thing by them.
And you have come up with a great program, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted you on the show. You've sprung into action in other ways that you can control by creating the social media contest to honor our residents and the workers of Illinois 20th District and making a positive impact in our community during this pandemic. So tell us a little bit about that program. It's called Highlight a Hero 2020.
So Highlight a Hero is a program where a nominator suggests somebody that is, whether it's a first responder or a teacher that's doing e-learning or a frontline medical worker. It could be the woman down the street that's making meals and sending them to the local firehouse. And they nominate that person and talk about what they're doing during this unprecedented time into making a difference. And on a weekly basis, our PR team selects 10 winners, so to say, and each winner gets a $100 gift card for one of the restaurants within the district that we've selected that's still open and providing carryout meals at, and then the nominator gets a $50 gift card for the restaurant as well. So we're going to do this for about I think it's like 10 weeks through the end of June, which ironically it was a date that we selected before the governor came out with his reopening plan. But, you know, it seems like that's going to be pretty spot on with when things are going to be able to open up again.
Fantastic. Now, you can nominate someone through the contest portal. There's a portal, right?
I'm a paper and pen guy. Our staff handles that. I believe it's repbradstevens.com.
/ hero to participate. Nominators must fill out the contest submission form on the portal there. And so don't call his office. Go in there.
If you call the office, they can direct you to that. But also, we've done some other things. We put together a big care package, so to say, for the National Guard folks that are manning the testing station over in Harwood Heights on Forest Preserve Drive. And we brought that over to the hotel that they're staying at here in Rosemont. We've had a couple of teletown hall meetings. The first one was with an emergency room doctor, Dr. Allegretti, and Dr. Jordan, one from Lutheran General, the other from Presence Resurrection, to give people the opportunity to email, phone in, be on the call, and ask questions of these doctors when this crazy situation was just starting. We had over 3,000 people on that call, so that was good to start things off. And then we went into another one with Rob Carr from IRMA, the Retail Merchants Association, and then folks from IDES to try to get people information on applying and qualifying for unemployment. And then we did a third one with small business. We had Jack Lavin from the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce. We had representatives from the Small Business Association and the Illinois Banking Association to get on the phone and talk about what problems they're having. And we took emails and took live calls and tried to handle that. Our staff has made over 8,000 calls to seniors. You know, there's probably two dozen people that we've got reaching out to seniors in the district, just doing wellness checks and seeing if there's anything that we can do. You know, kids are not being able to walk down the stage in graduation. We're doing things, sending letters, certificates to acknowledge graduates within the district. So we're doing a lot of things, and it's a great job to have, and this is what we're supposed to be here for. We're supposed to answer the call of our constituents, and hopefully we're filling the bill there.
Well, as you mentioned, a lot of assistance. So there's various forms of that assistance available, and you can go to repbradstevens.com, that website there, to find those resources and how you can benefit or take part of that or help a loved one or someone in need. I know this is going to be a tough question, but I just was curious, what do you think we're going to look like a year from now?
Oh, yeah, that is tough. You know, I'm confident that that we're going to limp through the end of this year, and I'm hopeful that next year will make a strong comeback. But this is not going to, we're not going to be back to norm by the end of 21, and I don't think in any way, shape, or form. But hopefully on the road to recovery. No, I'm talking about in 21. I think that it's going to be a process, and I think that it's just going to take some time to see how it's progressing and then be able to forecast beyond the end of next year.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got a tough job ahead there, leading a lot of not just people in your district, but businesses and families and healthcare. It's a tough job. How are you holding up through all of this?
Oh, hanging in there. You know, it's tough here at home. My wife she's probably going to be one of the top vote getters for the Golden Apple Award for the homeschool teacher. She's teaching my 7 and my 4-year-old every day, and you know, it's cute how she actually makes them every morning do the Pledge of Allegiance and sing the Rosemont School song, and then she gets into a pretty much full day of school with them. So it's
I love it.
Yeah, it's great, and they're okay with being inside. Obviously, they'd love to get outside, but they're trying to understand what's going on. This will be a great story 15 years down the road.
We hope, yes, right. It will be. It will be a great story of how we've all come together, right? We stuck together through this, and we'll get through this. That's for sure. Well, hang
Absolutely.
In there. Our Illinois State Rep, Brad Stevens, with the 20th District, thank you so much, and thanks for all you're doing to honor our local heroes. And stay healthy and strong. Thank you very
okay.
much.
Okay, thanks, Dolly. I appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks for coming on the show. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, that's all the time we've got. With that, you know I have to end the show on a good note. Stay positive and good, everybody. Be good to each other. We went a little long today, but it was worth it. A great show we've had. Tough road ahead for all of us, but let's stay hopeful and positive. We'll get through this. Stay focused on health, on keeping yourself healthy and being a rock for everybody around you, including yourself. We'll get through this, everybody. Hang in there and enjoy your life. Live your life. And I will see you in the fall. We will be in the fall. We will be together once again in the fall. Thanks, everybody, for supporting the good show. I'm Dolly McCarthy. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The Dolly McCarthy.